Well, in the U.S., there are 2 million tissue and organ transplants each year, and the majority of them, they're by the book. While the image of organ donation may be dramatic, the operating tables, the neon-colored transplant coolers, ambulances rushing organs from one hospital to another, tissue or bone transplants are much more common and often as life-altering for the recipient. Brian Hamilton is the Associate Director of Procurement for MTF Donor Services. He knows a thing or two about collecting transplant tissue. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
So, first question, I'm going to ask you a lot of how-to questions without
Sure.
getting too grisly, okay?
That's fine.
How long is skin tissue viable after it's removed from the donor?
It depends on how it's used. If it's fresh skin, it's going to be used within probably less than 2 to 3 weeks. If it's frozen, it can be kept maybe up to 5 years. But there is such a demand for what's called split-thickness skin grafts for burn patients that it doesn't sit around very long.
So two things there were very interesting. First of all, so people usually receiving these tissue donations, the skin, they're normally burn patients. What other patients would need skin grafts?
The other type of application for skin would be wounds, patients who have sores from not being able to move that much. And then some of the newer applications are not for the surface of the skin, but for the dermis, which is under the skin. And these are for reconstruction where patients have lost a large amount of connective tissue to, say, a traumatic injury, to cancer, or to some other, mechanism whereby they don't have enough adequate tissue of their own to replace that.
And then the other thing you said, which was interesting, was it can be frozen. So
Yes.
you can keep tissue and bone for long periods of time. You can store it.
Yes, in fact, the vast majority of bone and tendons that are transplanted today are freeze-dried, and they have a period of approximately 5 years, but if you validate the process, you can keep them even longer. Again, the very high-demand tissues for the procedures that are being done on a routine basis don't sit very long because they're, in essence, at a waiting list. So as soon as those are cleared for release, they go out to the hospitals, they go to the clinicians, and then to the recipients.
With organ donation, I know there's a lot of issues about whether the donor and the recipient have certain criteria that match up. Is it the same with tissues?
No, we're very fortunate because the vast majority of tissue transplants are acellular. They're not living when they're put in, but your own body, your cells then inhabit that tissue and make it alive again and make it yourself. So rejection is not something that we have to worry about. These patients do not receive any immunosuppression, and we don't worry about rejection like you would with a solid organ transplant.
In the story that I was reading leading up to the last interview we did, I read that something like one body could be $100,000 worth of tissue and bone and things like that. I don't know if that's just on the black market or if those are the kind of economics you guys deal with, but does that number sound right to you?
Well, no, you have to look downstream, so to speak. When, say, an organ procurement agency recovers a tissue donor for us, we pay what it costs them to do that. They figure out what their costs associated with the operating room, their staff, and all those kind of things. Then there's all the processing and quality assurance that goes into it, and then it's sent to the hospital. And then the hospital has a markup in there as well. So if you go to the hospital and you have an aspirin and they charge you $5 for it, you think, well, I could buy an aspirin for 4 cents at the drugstore. But there's all those other costs associated, the nursing services, all the non-billing services of hospitals, and all along that process that have to be covered. So when someone tells me that you could generate $100,000 from a tissue donor, that may be the end result of all the tissue that's sent out with all the additional markups. But, tissue banks are not, as a tissue bank that I work for, I would say that's erroneous in the sense that, people assume that it goes to one spot or one place.
Now, Brian, we heard that black market story, which is really creepy and scary, but obviously people who are involved in tissue banks, they have some sort of accreditation. Who usually gets involved in this kind of work? Do you
Well,
have to have any sort of a medical degree?
yes, and there's a tremendous amount of regulation. The enforcement of the regulation by the FDA may be a little bit less than desirable because they are, challenged with all kinds of inspections of food and drugs and medical devices and things like that. But there's thousands of pages of regulation on tissue transplantation. The people who do these recoveries in general are highly trained, and the FDA and the American Association of Tissue Banks, which is the industry standard, requires that these are knowledgeable and competent individuals, that you have training files on them, that they're maintained. And many of them are maybe medical residents, they may be operating room nurses, medical technologists. Most of these are folks who have backgrounds in medicine who are then trained in all the different aspects that are required for them to be knowledgeable and competent for the task that they're charged with.
Brian Hamilton is the Associate Director of Procurement for MTF Donor Services. Thanks for explaining it all to us, Brian.
Oh, you're most welcome.